May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 64. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Hymn number 64.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we'll read the book of the Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. He said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, let thy Urim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor know his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land. For the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock. His horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim. And they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in the portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour, and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. Gracious, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, teach us now how to pray with reverence and with godly fear. We come now into thy holy presence. Help us, Lord, to give the respect due to thy holy name. We come before thee as poor worms of the earth. To the great, the almighty, the only God. As we've already sung, the sovereign ruler. May, Lord, we be able to trace that sovereign rule in our own lives. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst reign over us as king. And teach us to submit and to acknowledge and to obey thy holy rule. Help us, Lord, to worship thee as our ruler, as our king, as our God, as our judge. Lord, may we also be enabled to worship thee as our Father, as our Saviour, as our Comforter, as our Guide, as our Friend. May, Lord, this day we worship thee with holy love, not with slavish fear. Fill our hearts, we pray, with the love of God in Christ. May we be filled with wonder, love, and amazement of that amazing love to poor sinners. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies toward us. Thou hast brought us each in safety, in a measure of health and strength, into thy house. We thank thee, Lord, for this. We thank thee, Lord, for thy house, for thy word, for thy throne of grace, for thy glorious gospel, for thy people, for thy day. Lord, these are great privileges we do not deserve. Where would we be without them? Help us, Lord, this day to own with gratitude thy kindness. We thank thee, Lord, for our health and strength, for our homes and families and loved ones, our faculties, our careers, our possessions, the measure of peace and health and safety and security we all enjoy. All we have, Lord, comes from thee. And may we, like Jacob, acknowledge that we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, let alone the greatest of them. Help us then, Lord, to worship thee with thanksgiving for thy continued and daily kindnesses unto us. But Lord, we come before thee with many needs. Firstly, Lord, we need now the gift of thy Holy Spirit. For thy word says that we cannot worship without him. Send down now thy Holy Spirit upon us, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. Distracting thoughts and cares remove, and fix our minds on things above. With food divine may we be fed, and satisfied with living bread. Thus, Lord, thy waiting servants bless, and crown thy gospel with success. Grant, Lord, that there may be success in the hearts of many this day, under the precious sound of the preaching of Christ. Prepare our hearts and make them good ground to receive thy word. And may, Lord, we be fruitful. May we increase in fruit. May we be among those who yield an 100% harvest. Speak to us, we pray. Speak to us through thy word. Comfort and consolation, direction, reproof, conviction, teaching, leading. Lord, suit thy word this day to every case before thee. Send none untouched away. And could it please thee, Lord, this day to speak to someone here for the first time? May today that work of grace begin. May today a lamb be born into thy flock. And there be that beginning, the first steps on the journey of faith, which will end in fullness of joy in heaven. We pray, Lord, for each one found here, and for this house of prayer, we affectionately commend them to thee. Each, Lord, have their various needs and concerns. Some known, no doubt many more unknown. We pray, Lord, today for Jeremy and Hannah in the loss of a child this week. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near and comfort their hearts this day. and surround them with thy loving care. And may they prove that thou art still the God of love, that thou art still a refuge and strength in times of trouble and of distress and of need. Draw near, we pray, unto them, and grant them to know at this time thy sacred presence and help. And any other, Lord, who are walking in times of trial, of darkness, of trouble, of sorrow, of distress, of difficulty, draw near to them this day. May they prove that thou art still on the throne, that thou art still reigning, that thou dost still care. We pray, Lord, for this church. We ask thee to surround it with thy loving care and tender mercy. Keep Satan out. Unite them together in love and fear of thy name. May they be a fruitful church to thy glory and honour. And do add unto them those whom thou hast saved. And do add unto this congregation those whom it is thy sovereign will to save through the preaching of thy word here. Bless thy servants as they proclaim thy truth. And grant, Lord, that this may be a well-watered garden, a field which the Lord God has blessed, a fruitful corner of thy church. May they know, Lord, what it is to grow in grace, to be more established and deeply tall, to be more consistent, to walk closer with God. And bless, we pray, the children, help them in the dawning of life. Grant thy help in the Sabbath school. And grant, Lord, that the seed sown there week by week may in time to come show an abundance of harvest. And do, Lord, put a hedge about them and keep them to thy ways. Provide for them godly partners in life. Provide for them in employment. Grant them success as far as is right in thy sight. Make them a blessing in a generation to come in the house of God. And bless thy church as it meets today worldwide. Bless thy servants. Grant thy help to preach Christ, to exalt him, to point others to him and say, behold the way to God. Grant, Lord, that liberty, that heartwarming, that constraint by the love of Christ. Grant help in the pews to hear thy word. Grant, Lord, the ear of faith. Grant the heart of love. Grant the willing, obedient feet. Bless any, Lord, unable to be here this day, and draw near unto them. And remember this nation at this time of national uncertainty and turmoil. Overrule in the councils of government to thine honour and glory, and for the good of thy people. And grant, Lord, days of revival in this nation, and return to the God that we have forsaken. Help us now as we come to thy word and reveal thyself unto us as the friend of sinners. We ask for Jesus' sake, in that almighty name. May it now prevail on our behalf. Amen.
In 329, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. In 329.
seeking the Lord's help. We turn this morning to the book of the Numbers, the 10th chapter, verse 29. The 29th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of the Numbers. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. The Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Children of Israel are here at the commencement of their pilgrimage. They have spent a year encamped before Mount Sinai. And they've learnt many necessary lessons there. They've been given the law of God. They've been taught something of the holiness and the majesty and the power of God. In the Mount of God, Moses has been told many things by God face to face about the conduct of the children of Israel in the years to come. But this was not their rest. There's no rest at Mount Sinai. This was not their home. This was not the promised land. The time has come for them to move on. For the next stage of their journey to Canaan. The child of God cannot abide and live forever at Sinai. It is necessary to come there to learn something of the law of God, the holiness of God, and of our own sinfulness. But you won't find any rest there. Move on to Calvary. That's where you'll find rest. And here they are, God's command. They are about to leave Sinai forever, never to return. They never came back to Sinai. The lessons there had been learnt, the work there done. Again, that's a lesson for the Lord's people. Now they must journey. And here at the commencement of this journey, Moses speaks to Hobab. Now the scholars are divided as to whether Hobab was either the father-in-law of Moses or whether he was his son. It was one or the other. And he had been with Moses while he was at Sinai. But now as they take their journey and they move further away from the natural birth place of this man, he prepares to depart to his own land. And here Moses entreats him not to depart, but to go with them. And this is the language he uses. We are journeying. And to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And in many ways, the journey which children of Israel took is a parallel to the spiritual journey of life that every child of God must take. In one sense, we are all journeying. Without exception, we are journeying to our final destination of body and soul. We cannot stay here forever. And every day you and I take a day nearer in our journey to our journey's end. And at the end of that journey, we will be in one of two destinations. Either the heavenly Canaan, of which the earthly Canaan was but a type, and of where there is eternal good, eternal life, eternal rest. Or we will be in that place where hope and mercy can never enter, where there is nothing but pain and misery and torment. Where are you journeying to? No doubt everyone here would tell me that they hope that they are journeying to heaven. But are you on the right road? After all, if you wanted to journey to London, you would not take the road down to Cornwall, would you, and expect to get there? Then why, with some of you, when you have not taken one step in the way of faith, are you expecting to reach heaven at last? If you and I are to reach heaven, we must, at some point in this life here below, be found in this journey of faith. And if you are spending your life, as some of you are, in sin, serving yourself, serving your sinful pleasures and lusts, if your home is in this world, if your happiness is here, if your best friends are found among the ungodly, and that is a company you're happy with, why do you expect to get to heaven? Why is it that you expect to get to heaven when you find it such a drudge to be in the house of God for an hour and a half on the Lord's day and are glad when it's over? Why do you expect to be happy? Your happiness is in this world with sin, but in heaven there's going to be no sin. Your happiness is in sinful pleasures and sinful company. And you aren't really comfy in the presence of the godly, but in heaven there's only going to be the presence of the godly. You find the worship of the Lord's house to be a drudge, a task, oppressive, but in heaven it will be eternal worship. If that is the way you're living, you are not journeying to heaven. And unless you know that great change of the new birth, with new principles, with a new love, a love for God, a love for the ways of holiness, unless you have a sickening of the things of this world, the words of our text will not be true of you. Because only to those who are journeying in this way does it say the Lord has spoken good concerning them. The Lord did not speak good concerning those nations around Israel. He has only spoken good for his dear people. And if you are journeying to heaven, you'll know in a spiritual way some of the things that the children of Israel knew. First of all, they couldn't take their own way, could they? Every step in that 38-year pilgrimage, they were guided by a heavenly hand. If you're in this journey, you'll prove you can't go your own way in life. You'll prove the truth of our opening hymn, Sovereign Ruler of the Skies. And you'll prove he's not just the Sovereign Ruler of the Skies, he is your Sovereign Ruler as well. And by the grace of God, you'll be brought to fall under his rule. And you'll be brought to realize it is a wise rule, it is a good rule, and that your loving Heavenly Father knows better than you do. And so even when you come into those times, as the children of Israel came to, how often did that fiery, cloudy pillar lead them where they did not want to go by nature, and into ways they could not understand? So there will be times in your journey, child of God, when you will be led in a way that you did not expect, and which your natural man does not welcome. But you'll prove eventually My Jesus has done all things well. You may not be able to say it now, but you will one day. We are journeying. Then again, throughout that long way, all those years, there was never a cloudless sky in their journey. There was always one cloud there, the fiery, cloudy pillar. Didn't know a cloudless sky until they got to their journey's end, to the canyon. So, believer, you may have come perhaps disappointed into the house of God this morning as you have reviewed your pilgrim way as to how much clouds there has been. There will be no clouds in heaven. But you haven't got there yet. And this is not your rest, you're journeying. And in wisdom and in love, he has decreed that you should not have a cloudless sky. But he balances those clouds for your good and for his glory. There will never be a needless cloud. And you know, however dark the cloud, the sun still shines just as brightly above those clouds. You just can't see it. So the Sun of Righteousness shines this morning just as brightly above those dark clouds you're in. They may have hidden him from your view, and it may be darkness with you, but it has not hidden you from his view. He sees you through those clouds, toiling and rowing. And while you're toiling this morning in your journey, he's praying for you. What is he praying? That your faith fail not. And it will not fail. And it cannot fail. While Jesus is watching over you and praying on your behalf as you journey. We are journeying. And then again, someone in that camp always had to be looking up to where the fiery, cloudy pillar was. Was it going one way or another way? Was it staying? Child of God, look up this morning. Stop looking down. Stop looking within. Stop just looking in isolation at that difficulty that is in front of you. And measuring just how insufficient you are for it. You're not going to get any comfort there. Look up. And what are you going to see when you look up? The fiery, cloudy pillar is still there above you. You haven't mistaken the way. You may say, but I never expected this trouble. Neither did the disciples on that lake. That night, that storm blew up. The Lord said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And in obedience, they launched forth. You might have expected, as they probably did, a very clear crossing, an easy journey. After all, it was a path of obedience. They were directly in the will of God, and what happened? The boat filled so full it nearly sank. And this morning, you're looking back, aren't you? You had that clear direction. And you followed it. But this morning, you've come to such a point where you feel like giving up. You feel you're sinking. And you wonder, did you mistake the way? And if you didn't mistake the way, why are you in this path? Well, remember one thing, or remember two things. First of all, the disciples didn't turn round and go back to the shore that they'd left. No matter how hard it was, they carried on. Because Jesus had told them to. Jesus told you to launch forth. And this morning he says to you, go on. Don't go back. Don't give up. Don't take a diversion to try and avoid the wind and the waves. Don't delay and put it on hold. Go on. You say to me, it's impossible. There are no impossibilities with God. Do you know why he's brought you into this trial? The very same reason he brought the disciples into that trial. Remember when he said, launch forth, let us pass over to the other side. He knew what was in front of them. They didn't. It didn't take him by surprise. But it was necessary for them to go into that trial. And why? And why is it necessary for you to be passing through this trial? I will tell you. For the same reason that these disciples had to pass through it. These disciples in the years to come were to be the Lord's ambassadors. They were going to go throughout the world preaching Christ. Preaching that he was the Son of God. That he was the Son of Man. Preaching that he was the Savior of sinners. Preaching that he was no less than Almighty God. But before they could do that, they had to come into those places where they had to prove that only God could help them. And they had to come to see with their own eyes and prove in their own circumstances that Jesus was and is God. And it brought them to that point. Truly thou art the Son of God. That's what he's doing with you. You can't teach others he is the Son of God until you know it yourself. So go on. And then the second point to remember. They didn't go to the bottom, did they? They didn't drown. They did get to the other side. They did reach the end of their journey. They did get to that place where the Lord had said to them, let us pass over to the other side. He promised them they'd get there. He promised you, didn't he? And you're going to get there. But it's going to be in his way, not yours. But you will get there. Because he has said it, he has spoken it, he has spoken good concerning you in this. And Satan can't undo it. He may try. He is trying. But he will fail. So press on, leaning on your beloved Lord. How often did the children of Israel have to prove he is God? Where did their journeyings take them to? It's where your journeying is going to take you to. It took them to Marah, those bitter waters. They said they would not drink of it, but they did drink. They proved the Lord there. So will you. Where did it take them to? It took them to that place where the rock was smitten. That's where the Lord is going to lead you, believer, to Calvary. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. This is where, if you're in the journey of faith, you are going to be led. You are going to find an echo in these hymns, because you'll prove that they are prayers, they're the desires of your own heart. And as you journey, you're going to prove you are a sinner. You haven't left your sins behind in Egypt, have you? You're carrying your nature with you, and you're going to carry it with you to your journey's end. And so you are going to need this smitten rock, Christ Jesus, smitten for your sin, wounded, bruised for your sin. Jesus, thus for sinners smitten, wounded, bruised, serpent bitten, to his cross directs our faith. Why should we then poison cherish? Why despair of cure and perish? Look, poor soul, though stung to death, you will not look in vain. Where did they go in their journeyings? They went to that occasion when that smitten, when that fiery serpent was lifted up upon that pole. And as many as looked, lived. And so, believer, and so, poor sinner, by precious faith, as you journey on, you are going to be brought to look to Christ and there find all your hope in him. And as the children of Israel needed bread and water to survive, so you are going to prove in this journey that Christ is your bread. And Christ is your water, the water of life. You are going to feed on him by precious faith. You need his righteous life. You need his work that he has done. You need the obedience of his hands. You need his all-prevailing prayer on your behalf. He He has said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and it will not fail. But it will shake. And all that is not of him will fail. And when you come into shaking times, you'll prove just how small your faith really is. He will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You need him as a guide to direct you in this way. You need him to protect you. This is a dangerous way with Satan, who will oppose you and tempt you to do wrong and to turn out the way, to make shipwreck, to go back. You have an old wretched heart that will not aid you in this journey. You have the world that will not aid you. You must expect persecution. The world will not like it. They will not tolerate a real Christian. You must expect persecution at some point. But he has said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We are journeying. You need Christ on this journey. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. And so if you can trace in your own life that work of the Holy Spirit within, teaching you, convincing you of your sin, showing you your danger and your need, and then leading you to Christ for the supply of that need, then you have an evidence that Christ has prayed for you, because you would never have that gift of the Holy Spirit if Christ had not prayed for you. And he said, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, so you are not of the world. You're that evidence that you are one of his people. And if he's prayed for you once, then he's also prayed and included you in that prayer, Father, I will. That they also may be with me where I am to behold my glory. And the intercessionary prayer of Jesus is always answered in the affirmative. Believer, look up as you journey on. The end is a good one. The prospect is a good one. And although it may be a dangerous way, it may be a discouraging way, it may be a hard way, it may be a way of sorrow and distress, Jesus is here. That's all you need. And day by day, ask Jesus to draw near and go with you, and to carry you through the day, and to give you the grace you will need in this journey. Lord, let thy presence be my stay and guard me in this dangerous way. And then you are going to need the precious blood of Jesus Christ as you journey. He is that smitten rock, and that was what that rock spoke of. Smitten for the sins of his people. As again that hymn writer says, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Have you been brought there? It's where you'll come to. Nothing in yourself. No good works in the past or the present. No promise to be better in the future. simply to thy cross I cling. And you cannot cling there in vain. It is the only safe place to live. It is the only safe place to journey. It is the only safe place to die. It is a good hope if you are clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ. The wounds of Jesus, said the hymn writer, for my sin. The Lamb from the foundation of the world slain. Who trusts in God's unchanging love. Builds on a rock that cannot move. If you're journeying in the way of faith, you'll be brought to find the cross of Christ precious. Now, some are favored to be brought to the full assurance of knowing that Jesus died for them. If you have that assurance this morning, thank God for it. Rejoice in it. Ask God to maintain it. Some of the Lord's people never come to that full assurance this side of the grave. But their hope is fixed just as much as those with full assurances. The difference is the comfort of it. But if your faith is real, you'll be brought to say with absolute conviction and certainty that the only way your sin will be forgiven is through the sacrifice that Jesus made upon that cross. You will have no other hope. And this morning, if that is where your hope is, carry on, journey on, pray on. Ask God to give you that full assurance, but don't despise a little hope. If that's where it's founded, it's in a good place. And ask God to give you that full assurance of faith. We are journeying. And then the Lord's people, they journey through the path of his ordinances. This is where Jesus Christ himself came. He went to Jordan's river. He didn't consider that an unnecessary journey. It's been said he journeyed about 60 miles, probably on foot, from Nazareth to Jordan to be baptized. A long way. He didn't consider it to be an unnecessary journey. And then later he instituted, on that same night in which he was betrayed, that precious ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And he says to those who have a hope in his mercy, do this in remembrance of me. And this morning, to those of you who can say something of Christ and how precious he is to you and of what he has done for you, this is what the Lord's people say, come thou with us and we will do thee good. For the Lord have spoken good concerning Israel. Have some of you got something to say of Christ? Have you got nothing to say? If you've got nothing to say, then you're right to stay away. But if you've got nothing to say, and it's because you are a stranger to him, you're in a perilous condition, go on your knees and ask God to show you himself to you, to make himself precious to you. but to those of you who this morning can say that you are not a total stranger, that he is precious to you, that he has done something for you. May the love of Christ constrain you to come now with us in this sense, the sense of the church here. Come now with us and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. The Lord has spoken good concerning the church here at Swavesey. He has worked here in years gone by and he's still working here. And he will continue to work here. The Lord's presence is here. The Lord's blessing is here. And in keeping of his commands, there is great reward. We are journeying. You say to me this morning, the one thing that holds me back is my fear as I journey on, I will bring dishonor and reproach. Well, here is the word of the Lord to you this morning. He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And if he's with you, he will keep you from falling. He will keep you in the way. He will keep you at his feet. He'll keep you on praying ground. And see, the apostle says somewhere, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to him be glory. You're not able. But the word of God says he is able. He's not only able, he's willing. And if you were to speak to some of those in the church here, they could tell you of how the Lord has kept them. And why not you? He is able. May you then be enabled to venture, trusting in those words, he is able. Go forth leaning on your beloved Lord. And you'll prove he will not let you down. He will not desert you. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. The Lord has spoken. He's spoken many things. And we read some of the good things that he had in store for the natural Israelites. How much more has he spoken good concerning the spiritual Israelites? He has spoken eternal good for you, believer. Rest in the promise God has spoke. In all things ordered well for thee, whose sacred word he'll ne'er revoke, nor alter his profound decree. Go on, then, this morning. That's the Lord's word for you. You ask for direction. you came to the house of God. The Lord heard, and here is his answer. Go on. Go on leaning on him. Go on trusting in him. Go on pleading his blood and righteousness and precious name. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, for they will end in heaven.
The collections last Lord's Day were £765, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening. And Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day and to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And the collections today are for the Trinitarian Bible Society Auxiliary in this area. Let us close with hymn 735. Oh, the happiness arising from the life of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquests over hell and sin. Happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. Hymn 735.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest, rule, and remain with us, both now and forevermore. Amen.